What changes at Matan Torah? And is Matan Torah a one-time event? Or is Matan Torah part of a progression? In Likutei Sichos for Parshas Vayetze, Chelek Aleph, the third Sicha, the Rebbe addresses the story of Yaakov Avinu's messed up Sheva Brachas. The morning after Yaakov's wedding, Yaakov realizes that he's been given the wrong bride. Instead of receiving Rachel, Yaakov receives Leah. So Yaakov goes, he complains to Lavan. He says, Lamari Misani, why did you trick me? Lavan tells him, don't worry. Male Shavuazes, finish the week of this one. Finish Leah's week of Sheva Brachos. And then afterwards, after you finish Sheva Brachos, we'll give you Rachel as a wife right away. But just commit to work for me for another 7 years. But in any event, the idea is that Rachel could not be given to Yaakov right away. The Sheva Brachos had to be completed. So from here we learn Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer and the Yerushalmi Ma'id Katan, and Tosfos in the Bavli quotes us in several places, a rule that Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that you're not meant to mix two different smachas, that you're not meant to mix two different joyous occasions. And this is an application in Halacha, for example, we learn that you're not meant to get married on Yom Tov, because that would be a case of Eruv Simcha B'Simcha, mixing one joyous event with another joyous event. The Rebbe explains that the Soyid, what's behind this rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, is a psychological assessment. There are two perspectives that we might have on different stimuli for joy. One might say that add as many stimuli as joy for possible. The more joyous occasions, heap them all on, the more stimuli, the happier you'll be. However, the Torah here is telling us with this rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that keeping on too many occasions for joy actually distracts from your ability to be present, from your ability to fully appreciate the one joy. And for that reason, the Torah says, only experience, only be present in one joyous occasion at a time. So that's the rule of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. However, says the Rebbe, this is a little bit strange. How could it be that we learn a halacha from before Matan Torah? After all, the Gemara in Bava Basra famously tells us that nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. Once the Torah was given, we have a completely new halachic system. And as a result, you can't learn from things that were before Matan Torah. So the Rebbe explains by offering a distinction. There's a chiluk, there's a distinction between applying a religious practice, a spiritual practice, which was done before Matan Torah, and applying a psychological assessment, which was true before Matan Torah. In the realm of religion, says the Rebbe, it's true that everything that was before, any ways in which people tried to connect to Hashem, we see that Noyach was busy connecting to Hashem, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shem, and Aver, that was all wonderful. But when it comes to Matan Torah, that's a total shift in the way that we organize our religious practices, in the way that we connect to Hashem. However, when it comes to the human psyche, inherently the human psyche is the same as it was before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. It's just that after Matan Torah gives us new tools in which to elevate, refine, and perfect the human psyche. The Rebbe tells us that we live in a fractured world. Evidence of that fractured world is the fact that we all live in sin after the Eitz Hadas. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the Nachash, that the Nechash HaKadmoni, the primordial snake, was Hitl Zuma B'Chava. He injected venom into Chava and thereby contaminated Chava's progeny, contaminated the human race. So we still have, Kabbalah tells us, the remnants of the Chet Sadas in this world which we need to work on, and those will not be completely perfected until Mashiach comes. Similarly, the Medrash Rabbah tells us that Chet Sadas was not the only relevant sin, but there were other sins done by humanity, and the world that we live in is physically and psychologically impacted and spiritually impacted by all the negative results of the things that people did. And not only the things that people did, but other cosmic fractures within reality. One that the Rebbe refers to here, which we're not going to go into, is the Kabbalistic idea of Shviras HaKelim. That the Arizal tells us that the world we live in is a broken world. We live in a world where there are the shards of these Kelim, of these spiritual entities which existed in a prior time. And we live in the world of tikkun, the world of repair, where we need to repair the Shviras HaKelim. So Matan Torah does not fix the fact that we live in a fractured world. And our psyche is still the same fractured psyche. It's just that Matan Torah gives us new tools which allow us to climb immeasurably farther than we would have without Matan Torah. An example of this might be Shabbos. In his Sefer Luchas V'Shivri Luchas, Rav Shagar explains that there are spiritual practices outside the Yiddishkeit which try to bring a person to the spiritual state that every Jew or many Jews feel on Shabbos. However, by the Jewish people, you don't have to be some great mystic, some great meditator to experience an uplifted Shabbos. Many Jews, just by putting on Shabbos clothing, eating Shabbos food, going to shul, feel an uplifted sense. So in this way, receiving the Torah is almost like a spiritual shortcut. But not only is it a spiritual shortcut, it even brings us to heights that are higher than we could have gotten to before we received the Torah. So this is certainly helpful in terms of appreciating what it is that Matan Torah has done. Meaning on the one hand, we understand what it's not. Torah is not a panacea. It's not a fix-all. There still are real problems in the world. We cannot run away from them. We have to address them. And those are, in a sense, the same human problems, the same global problems that existed before Matan Torah. We haven't jumped out of history just by the fact that we received the Torah and by the fact that we're Jewish people. We still exist within the context of history. But that said, on the other hand, we learn that Torah gives us special tools for dealing with the challenges of reality that we face. But now that said, does it all end with Matan Torah? Is Matan Torah the final stage on the progression? Or might there be other points along the way where Hashem gives us new tools in order to confront a challenging reality? So the Rebbe tells us, and this is a common theme in Lukot Yesichas, that Matan Torah happens b'chodesh hashlishi. It happens in the third month counting from Nisan. We have Nisan Iyar Sivan. Sivan is the third month. In a similar fashion, says the Rebbe, you have another chodesh hashlishi, and that is the month of Kislev, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Kislev is the month in which Yud Tes Kislev happens. It's the month in which the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, is freed from prison and is thereby allowed now to really express Chassidus. And before this Kislev, the Alter Rebbe did not express Chassidus, expound on Chassidus at great length. After this Kislev, the Alter Rebbe began to expound at much greater length. So in that sense, this Kislev is a sort of Matan Torah of Torah Sachassidus. And the Rebbe tells us, based on a principle from the Alter Rebbe and Tayyar Ar, that Hashem reveals Himself in new ways to us in every generation, according to the conditions of that generation. But particularly, the revelation of Chassidus is a qualitatively new revelation which allows us to go much farther than we could before. True, we're still in the same fractured world. We still have the same fractured psyches, and that's why we can learn lessons about the human psyche even from before Matan Torah now. That said, Chassidus gives us new tools and new perspectives to go much farther along that path of repairing our fractured selves and repairing the fractured world that we inhabit. And if that's the case, it's our responsibility to seek out the teachings of Chassidus, to plumb the teachings of Chassidus, to mine the teachings of Chassidus, and apply them to our lives in order that we actualize Chassidus' healing powers.